Hi, I'm Fred Schonenberg, and thank you for joining me on the Venture Fuel podcast. At Venture Fuel, we help companies find new solutions by partnering with the best startups from around the world. On the show, you'll learn the secrets of business leaders who tap into startups and the founders driving extraordinary results. We'll consider new ideas, stretch our mindsets beyond the status quo, and in the process, discover how to leap the competition and fuel personal growth. Happy New Year, everybody. On today's episode, we are exploring the Internet of Things, or IoT. The IoT industry has quickly transformed from a futuristic idea to what is the next massive evolution of the internet. McKinsey predicts IoT will deliver up to $6 trillion in economic impact by 2025. On today's show, I'm speaking with Greg Kahn, Mr. IoT. He is the president and CEO of the Internet of Things Consortium. It is a trade association focused on frontier technologies across IoT. This is everything from home automation, smart cities, connected health and wellness, connected cars, connected retail. Greg is also the CEO of GK Digital Ventures, which provides investor strategies, marketplace development, and executive experiences. He looks at data and technology and supports both startups and established companies. Greg's been awarded the Business Role Model of the Year in 2020 by CEO World. He's been named one of the top IoT influencers by Huffington Post, Inc. Magazine, and Hewlett-Packard. Today, Greg and I talk about the future of IoT, its impact on startups and corporations, and we explore this intersection of business and technology. Let's get after it. Greg, welcome to the show, sir. It's been a long time.
Fred, my friend, that was a humbling introduction. Thank you so much and terrific to be here.
It's an impressive bio. It's hard to edit you down into something that I could get out there.
Please edit me down, my friend. And I'm thrilled to reconnect with you after all these years.
I think maybe the last time, we probably bumped into each other at CES a few times, but the last time we sat down was at a coffee shop, I think 7 years ago, like right after I launched Venture Fuel.
Yeah, it's a blink of an eye, and I look forward to doing that again in person soon, and hopefully at some point early to mid 2021, when we all emerge from the pandemic.
Yeah, you and me both. Well, so why don't we get started with? Can you tell us a little bit about and maybe two origin story here? How the IoTC came to be formed, and then also maybe transition that into your new venture with GK Digital Ventures.
Yeah, happy to do it, Fred. And just for the broader audience, I spent about 20 years in the media business prior to getting into deep tech, and first 10 years in content and film and television, and then 10 years in advertising and publishing, where we met, Fred. And as I saw the business and the technology trends changing, particularly from the West Coast of the U.S. and in places like Israel and in Asia, I had a very strong feeling that I wanted to be part of that three-legged stool of bringing content and advertising and technology together. And the best way to do that was to leave corporate America, although quite scary at the time, to take a step off to the side and to fully immerse myself into this new era, some call the fourth industrial revolution or the third wave, which is known as IoT, the Internet of Things. And so, it actually started at CES. It started with a trip to CES in 2013, where everybody was talking about IoT. And I came out of that show and had been, probably a dozen times previous to that. And said, this is where I want to spend at least my next 10 years. So the genesis of the consortium was a meetup group in Silicon Valley of hardware, software, and service companies, really cool companies getting together to talk about their vision for the future. And I got to know quite a few of the companies around the table. And they asked me if I would start an association. And I had never done anything like that before in my life, Fred. And be careful what you wish for, because I sort of jumped in, and here we are 5 years later with dozens of companies around the table, multinational as well as startups that are part of this group. But really the vision is that you know, the marketplace of connected devices was growing really rapidly, but required coordinated effort, that there were all these disparate companies trying to figure out business models. And while it was exciting at the time, it was really hindering the progress of the industry because it was so highly, and still today is so highly fragmented. And so, you know, as someone that's always been a connector, as somebody that's always seen trends early and tried to bring them into more practical terms for businesses and consumers, I thought it would be a really fun opportunity. And it is. It's every day is an incredible adventure in this world.
It's so interesting. I mean, I've gotten into different parts of the IoT ecosystem at different times, and disparate, fragmented, and like dripping with potential, right? Like there's all this interesting stuff, but how do you get all the different systems to talk to each other, and how do you make sense of it? And, you know, how do you make the data talk to each other? I mean, it's such an exciting time, but I can't think of any technology that needs a consortium more, just for those reasons that there's just so many different pieces that are moving and that are part of it. And it makes it hard to kind of make sense of the opportunities that are out there.
So true, Fred. And again, it's the potential has been there for quite a bit of time and still is today. And there are a lot of forces that are at work that are keeping it from reaching even higher potential. And at the same token, there are some incredible companies and opportunities that have already surfaced in the time that I've been deeply into IoT. So, you know, I like to make sense of a lot of the potential chaos that takes place in the marketplace. And when I say by make sense of it is that by seeing the trends early, by trying to talk about them in human terms, I think that there, as you mentioned, there's a lot of parts of the IoT and tech stack that are fascinating, but they oftentimes can be really daunting for individuals that don't understand all the acronyms or the nuances to really get a sense of how it affects their business. And whether that's a B2B business or a B2C business, you know, I always came at it with a more human approach, that there are humans behind the robotics, and there are humans behind the algorithms, and there are humans behind the sensors. And, you know, I think that we see in this world that we're in today is that a more humanistic approach is one that is more widely adopted, both B2B and B2C. So really fun to have built the consortium. And on the GK Digital Ventures side, so in all of my work with amazing companies over the years in the consortium, I've been approached quite a bit of time by both larger and smaller companies that I've interfaced with. And some I've worked with for decades prior to the IoTC, and some are newer companies that have been asking for advisory council. And some of that is go-to-market strategy. Some of it is you know, in the broader theme of digital transformation. Some of it is thinking about whether to make or buy, you know, whether to build within or whether to acquire, and how to source the right opportunities in those areas. So if they're gonna build themselves, how to do it. If they're gonna acquire, how to do it. And what to acquire. In some cases, and we, you know, we're chatting about a trade show at the top of this podcast is how to represent themselves publicly at these trade shows. And so, you know, those are areas now through GK Digital Ventures that I'm building out and excited already to have momentum with it. And we'll see what 2021 brings.
Yeah, certainly a lot of opportunities, both within the space and just, I think everybody's ready to get to 2021. That's certainly the vibe I'm getting. I had a question for you. We just finished a project, which is how you and I reconnected, for one of our corporate clients who was, you know, kind of trying to make sense of smart cities. And I mean, just exploring that to me kind of summarized the promise and potential of IoT. I mean, we were looking at waste management for buildings, energy efficiency, air quality, people flow, wayfinding, right? Like, how do you find where the bathroom is in a stadium? Traffic patterns around the stadium, and could that lead to fuel efficiency? And I mean, that was just the surface of just smart cities. And then you think about all the other aspects of IoT. This is a really long question just to ask you, what are you most excited about in this world? Is there an area that you know, you're bullish on that you think is, you know, maybe under talked about, but is a place people should be paying attention to in the IoT world?
Yeah, well, I'm at first just starting out, I'm really interested in and bullish on the future of connected cities that you described. I think, you know, cities, urban areas are where the majority of the population is in the United States. And that's not to disregard, there's a ton of opportunity in rural, which is a whole separate conversation. We can talk about ag tech and those types of things. But on the city side, you know, one question that I'm always asked when I engage in a city a technology conversation with city leaders is, what is a smart city, right? How is it defined? And there are, I think, over 500 definitions of smart cities nationwide, which goes to show, you know, cities are filled with interlocking systems and departments and humans, and they're incredibly complex. And it's really about, you know, thinking about that urban planning of the future that affects everything. It affects where you work. It affects where you live. It affects where you shop. It affects where you're entertained. You know, it affects how you get from point A to point B. So just kind of starting out on that place, one of the very, very early projects I worked on in the IoTC was, you know, conversations and collaborations around a challenge that was put out by the Department of Transportation of reinventing transportation in the country, particularly geared towards cities. And I had a conversation with the mayor of Austin, which was one of the finalists at the time. By the way, Columbus won that competition. But this week alone, Pete Buttigieg was just named the head of transportation in the U.S. And so that's a really interesting position and a really interesting opportunity when you think about the future of infrastructure and transportation, from electric vehicles to scooters to e-bikes to autonomous cars to drones, right? There's so much to unpack in that world. So that's one area that you and I kind of share in common there. You know, there are a lot of, back to sort of both GK Digital Ventures and the IoTC, you mentioned at the top that there are six areas that I cover as part of IoTC, and on my venture side, I cover what I call post-mobile technologies. So that includes augmented and virtual reality. It includes 3D printing, and it includes all connected devices. You know, one area that I've always been really interested in is the connected home, and in particular, the future of the living room. I think that if anything was taught during COVID, is that our homes are incredibly important places. Frankly, they're not nearly as technologically savvy as they should be, or as wired as they should be, or as wireless as they should be. I think the consumers are consuming, engaging, creating more content than ever before. And sort of there's this confluence of trends that are happening now in the home. Now you add the pandemic on top of that, where people are engaging with their doctors through telemedicine, where kids are engaging with their teachers through edtech, where gaming has taken off to a new level. The possibilities are endless in the connected home, and in particular the connected living room. What is the future of the living space look like in the home? The second relates to what I call the Zoom room, which is kind of what's the future of work. And there are many, many different applications of IoT and work, both work from home, which is not just a temporary blip, but this is an area after vaccinations take place will still be, you know, in mainstream in many industries. I'm starting to hear this notion of 2-3-2, which is 2 days in an office, physical office, 3 days at home, or flipped, and 2 days, of course, off on the weekend. And that notion is starting to be, you know, float around. And also, what's the future of a workspace on premise, whether that's in a factory, whether it's in an office building, on a campus, and how do things like contactless, you know, surfaces play out in a futuristic work environment or work environment that we're getting back to post COVID. So that's an area that's always been a real interest. I touched upon the transportation side as part of smart cities. I think that's a fascinating area, Friday. I think, you know, if you think about really the purpose of transportation is to transport someone from point A to point B, or the historic purpose of transportation has been to transport someone from point A to point B. Now, with autonomous vehicles coming, you know, cars in particular are becoming places of engagement, right? And so entertainment is starting to be woven into cars. E-commerce is coming quickly into the car construct. You can almost envision a future of work within a car. And sort of a tease to that is that some people are already in their jet streams, in their backyards, you know, starting to think about RVs as a place to work. So, you know, those are you know, a couple of areas that are of particular interest to me in this growing space.
I laughed because my wife was like, we should get an RV. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she goes, we could turn it into an office. And I was like, well, that sounds like a great idea, but we live in Brooklyn. Like, where are you going to park that thing? Like, we have to find a parking place every other day in the city. So that dream died out for us. But
there's always time, Fred.
maybe down the road. That's my retirement plan. But I think one thing that you said that it sparked a memory for me. I saw somebody speak. It was an architect. I'll put it in the notes when I can remember it. But at Cornell Tech, maybe 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, and he was showing the city reimagined. And it was a smart city presentation, but it was around this idea of what do our streets look like if autonomous vehicles, if the sensors get to the point where autonomous vehicles can be our mode of transportation. And to the earlier comment about parking, is like, you don't need parking anymore. I mentioned the Italian architect that I saw speak at Cornell Tech. His name was Carlo Ratti. He's the founder of Italy-based Carlo Ratti Associati and director of MIT's Sensible City Lab. In both of his roles, he looks at how technology can improve the environment as well as cities and then our lives. It was a truly breakthrough presentation. I've been thinking about it now for at least 2 years since we thought. He talks about everything from thermal bubbles to looking at data visualizations. So he actually looked at things like people walking, running, and cycling throughout the city, as well as cars and traffic flows, and how we can kind of redesign cities to make all that smoother and easier, and what happens when cars can kind of run autonomously in the best possible path, the impact of that to fuel efficiency and all sorts of other sort of improvements to our way of life. I'll put a note in so you guys can find a link for that, but really a powerful ideation that backs up Greg's enthusiasm for what the future holds. So what does that mean? Does that mean more area for restaurants to have outdoor spaces, more green spaces? You know, what do all the parking lots look like then? Can you turn those into, you know, farming structures within the city? And it's a really, you know, heady thing to start to imagine and think about. But I think there's so much potential, and they all are interwoven. And so it's just a question of sort of getting the dominoes to fall. And I agree with you on the home experience. We've all been at home now for a long amount of time, and you know, the things you love, you want to dive into deeper. You know, I'm a basketball fan, and I love the Michael Jordan Last Dance documentary. And like, if you told me there was a more immersive experience or a way to watch that with my college basketball teammates easily, right? Or we could do, like, all of a sudden you start to think about all these things that we've talked about in the past, and the tech is sort of there or there at certain levels. And so I think it's a really exciting next couple of years in a variety of industries and aspects of this.
Yeah, it certainly is. And, you know, I've had an incredible opportunity to travel and sort of see the way that others live and understand how they use technology and why technology is more advanced in certain areas than in others and sort of how humanity comes into that. You mentioned the concept of rethinking urban spaces and what becomes of parking lots. And you know, there's so many interesting stories within the stories that have taken place this year. But you know, as retail is another area I do a lot of work in the current state of commerce. And if you think of parking lots during this COVID era, is that parking lots have been transformed in malls and other places into places of entertainment. So you see film festivals popping up in parking lots or events where you're safe. You could be in your vehicle contained. And so what is the future of a parking lot look like as a whole, you know, conversation. The other piece that's really interesting is that, you know, cities have always been in the US have been built really to pack in more individuals, to, you know, density, essentially taller buildings. Well, in a COVID world, individuals want to be spread out. They want to spread out more. They want to be safer. What does the future look like there? Is it more space or is it more dense places? And you see this already early signs of kind of migration from the coast to Austin, Texas, and Miami in particular are two areas that have been really hot. And so be interesting to see as a lot of the tech talent goes there and thinks about transforming those cities, you know, how does that play out? What does that look like? So similar to you, I find it fascinating how things are changing so rapidly and the technology that we have and, you know, IoT and connected technology really, you know, provides the fuel to make these changes, but it comes down to the humans that have to be willing to make those changes, you know, using the technology. And, you know, that doesn't always happen, right? So I think we're again in a very interesting time. I say this is the era for the connected home. If we're not able to make sort of the connected home, you know, what it should be at this point in time, when the large majority of the U.S. population, the global population, is stuck at home, right? Then right. When will there be a time, right? You know, so you know, huge opportunity we have in the next 6 to 9 months to build beyond just sitting on Zoom calls, right? To think about what the future of the home is.
Well, it's crazy if you think about this time last year, the Zoom call was somewhat of a out there concept for a lot of people. Obviously, a lot of professionals had been doing video conferencing at certain levels, but not a to day. And we were obviously forced into this, but now it's like second nature. And so part of this is also showing the capacity for when you get everyone rowing in the same direction, you know, what can happen, how quickly it can happen, and the impact it can have.
Sure.
I'm really excited about the future of home. You and I end up going to all these futurist type things and CS and stuff like that. And, you know, we've been looking at XR and, you know, people talking about multiverses and all this stuff that seems like 100 years out there, but it's the tech is there. It's about adoption and then making sure you can connect that fragmentation so that it's interesting enough for people to dive into.
Yeah. And it's interesting. You mentioned the word future, which is one that I've always kind of grasped onto in my career. And I've made a very deliberate sort of pivot this year into a phrase that I call the now normal, not the new normal, but the now normal. The now normal is really about how technology can work for businesses and individuals today, not in a Jetson era that, you know, we envision sometimes in the future. Because I think that's been one of the things that has held us back. If you think about that, we were able to send a man to the moon in the last century. And that we've been on, you know, there's been mass adoption of smartphones for well over a decade at this point in time. You know, there are a lot of areas where we should be further along, right? Back to what's kind of holding us back. And I think, you know, part of it is that humans are looking for a little bit more practicality. How does it help me today? How does it feed my need today? And there's also a lot of opportunity in that too. And I'll give a real precise example is that drones is an area that, you know, again, back to my beginning of this journey with IoT, where I was looking into drones 5 years ago, and it seemed very futuristic and flying taxis, et cetera. Well, and now in a world where, you know, COVID vaccines need to be delivered in mass, and you have this gridlock in our country, or things like a snowstorm that we all experienced here on the East Coast yesterday, where you have a mix of retailers needing to get their holiday packages out to everybody, but yet what's more important than delivering, you know, a vaccine to the hospitals and to the first responders that need it? So you could see the need for a drone-like technology, not just as a leisure product, but as a real necessity in a society. And so, or in rural places that don't have the same access to the delivery systems that urban areas do, or in urban areas that frankly, the streets are becoming too congested. So that's an area where drones this year is now the time for drones to kind of take off for that reason. And there are a lot of areas like that. You mentioned the Zoom, we weren't doing that at, you know, a year ago, but if you think about sort of the work-life balance that people have been yearning for a long time, we should have been there. You know, right. There should have been many days when a family member might be sick or you have something personal to attend to that you could easily be as productive by just being on a Zoom call than in perhaps commuting 2 hours, you know, to a city. So I'm excited about the now, right? Yeah. I think, and that's been a real pivot, you know, for me personally in my journey this year.
It's really interesting. So, I mean, I love the phrase now normal. Our sort of catchphrase at Venture Fuel, and we have a video titled this, and it's in a lot of our materials, is what's next is now. Yeah. And it's a very similar idea, but it's like, you know, everyone kept saying, oh, you guys look at the future, you're next. And I'm like, guys, the stuff you think is next that you're talking about can solve problems today. It's now. It's not that far out there. And I certainly there's the, you know, farther out horizon stuff, but I love that positioning. And I think it's so important for people to remember that it's, you know, this stuff is, it can solve existing challenges and provide new opportunities today, not 10 years out. So I love the sort of anti-Jetsons vibe of that. And I'm going to totally, my last question for you is going to be the opposite of now. I want to know what's evolving and emerging in your eyes. We're starting off 2021. What do you think is coming that people maybe don't know about yet?
Yeah, well, 2021 is practically here, right? It's 2 weeks away. So, you know, some kind of thought starters heading into the new year. Number one, we talked about a little bit, the remote work is here to stay, right? It's been experimental for many companies, but the ability to work from home has turned out to be a lifesaver for both businesses and employees. So you will see with a more dispersed workforce, organizations shifting to more cloud-based business activities and using more IoT devices, tools, and platforms. So that's one area. Physical retail has to fully embrace high tech. So physical stores have even pre-COVID had been struggling to increase foot traffic as consumers were demonstrating preferences for convenience and for competitive pricing that online shopping afforded. Most retailers are realizing that their physical environments need to be transformed and need to be places where the consumer feels like they're getting an experience that they couldn't get in person. So, you know, that's, you'll see a lot of new technologies launching from, you know, smart sensors and contactless payments to, you know, virtual and augmented reality within the store construct itself. Telehealth, mental health are going to be integral to healthcare. We touched up briefly on telehealth. Mental health is going to be a real area of importance and how technology can help individuals kind of get through what they need to get through, particularly in the next 3 to 6 months as the lockdowns continue to occur in the country. And there are lots of opportunities from even virtual reality in improving mental health of individuals. We're going to see a lot more individuals aging in place. So back to that home environment, you know, there are promising applications that will come out that, you know, assist with everything from the health aspect and wearable devices that help to measure, you know, the health and wellness of individuals. And as part of that, I'm very bullish on connected fitness within the home. You're seeing it with Peloton and emerging with Mirror, which was acquired by Lululemon. Look for the home to be completely transformed into the connected home gym. So health and wellness is a real area that I'm bullish about. Spoke a little bit about transportation. You know, the way that people get around will never, ever be the same again. So it was already electric bikes and scooters. Ride-sharing services were on the rise pre-COVID, but smart mobility now is here. Thinking about how you not only transport an individual from place to place, but also a good. You see it most frequently today with restaurants starting to use ride-sharing services to deliver food, but they're now moving into other categories, even electronics and clothing. You know, and at the top of this, you and I were talking about the smart city revolution, right? So that's going to continue. There's not one single blueprint for developing a smart city, but many are already adopting new policies. And, you know, what the future holds depends only on how far we can stretch our imaginations. Smarter city, you know, employees and leaders will become trailblazers in our industry. And so I'm really excited to see sort of how our cities transform in the US and around the globe.
Love it. Well, Greg, thank you so much. It was so nice to reconnect with you. Where can people learn more about GK and the IOTC? Where do you want to send folks to keep up to date with you?
Yeah, gkdigitalventures.com, GK, my initials, digitalventures.com. Or you could follow me on Twitter, GK Media Buzz is my handle, and very active on both. But phenomenal to reconnect with you too, Fred. And I look forward to that coffee in the city sometime soon.
All right. If not, we'll figure out a virtual way to do it.
There you go.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks so much for joining us. If you enjoyed the show, please subscribe and be sure to go to LinkedIn and search at Venture Fuel. Follow us there. That's where we're always posting our latest information, invites to our virtual events. We're active on all the social channels, but LinkedIn is the place to go and find out the latest and greatest on new technologies, startups, and innovation. Until next time.